Good morning. Are we ready to worship the Lord Most High? We're going to start off with Psalm 145 in the Passion Translation, King David's poetic song of praise. My heart explodes with praise to you. Now and forever, my heart bows in worship to you, my King and my God. Every day I will lift up my praise to your name with praises that will last throughout eternity. Lord, you are great and worthy of the highest praise, for there is no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. Generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and declare more of your glory. Your magnificent splendor and the miracles of your majesty are my constant meditation. Your awe-inspiring acts of power have everyone talking. I'm telling people everywhere about your excellent greatness. Our hearts bubble over as we celebrate the fame of your marvelous beauty. Bringing bliss to our hearts, we shout with ecstatic joy over your breakthrough for us. You're kind and tender-hearted to those who don't deserve it, and very patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river, overflowing its banks with kindness. God, everyone sees your goodness, for your tender love is blended into everything you do. Everything you have made will praise you, fulfilling its purpose, and all your godly ones will be found bowing before you. They will tell the world of the lavish splendor of your kingdom and preach about your limitless power. They will demonstrate for all to see your miracles of might and reveal the glorious majesty of your kingdom. You are the Lord who reigns over your never-ending kingdom throughout all the ages of time and eternity. Yes, Lord. You are faithful to fulfill every promise you've made. You're faithful, God. You're faithful. You manifest yourself as kindness in all you do. Weak and feeble ones you will sustain. Those bent over with burdens of shame you will lift up. You have captured our attention, and the eyes of all look to you. You give what they hunger for at just the right time. When you open your generous hand, it's full of blessings, satisfying the longings of every living thing. You are fair and righteous in everything you do, and your love is wrapped into all your works. You draw near to those who call out to you, listening closely, especially when their hearts are true. Every godly one receives even more than what they ask for you hear what their hearts really long for, and you bring them your saving strength. God, you watch carefully over all your devoted lovers like a bodyguard, but you will destroy the ungodly. We will praise you, Lord. Let everyone everywhere join us in praising the beautiful Lord of holiness from now through eternity. Amen.
Beauty in your holiness, love in your embrace, eyes filled with compassion in every tear you cry, intercession in your voice, intention all around. Heaven's song is singing, let love, oh, let love come down, let love come down. Let love come down, let love come down, oh, let love come down, let love come down, let love come down, let love come down. There is beauty in your holiness, love in your embrace, eyes filled with compassion in every tear you cry. Intercession in your voice, intention all around. Heaven's song is singing, let love. Oh, let love come down. Let love come down. Let love come down. Let love come down. Oh, let love come down. Let love come down. Let love come down. Let love come down. Permeate, saturate, fill my heart with all of heaven. Let your love come down. Intoxicate with a love so sweet. Overflow, overflow. Permeate, saturate, fill my heart with all of heaven. Let your love come down. Intoxicate with a love so sweet. Overflow, overflow. Permeate, saturate, fill my heart with all of heaven. Let your love come down. Intoxicate the love so sweet. Overflow, overflow. Let love come down. Let love come down.
Let love come down.
Let love come down. Let love come down.
Let love come down. Let love come down.
Let love come down. Permeate, saturate, heart with all of heaven. Let your love come down. Intoxicate with love so sweet. Overflow, overflow. Permeate, saturate, fill my heart with all of heaven. Let your love come down. Intoxicate love so sweet. Overflow, overflow. Permeate, saturate, fill my heart with all of heaven. Let your love come down. Intoxicate love so sweet. Overflow. Let love come down. 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 Oh, let love come down. 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 Permeate, saturate, fill my heart with all of heaven. Let your love come down. Intoxicate love so sweet. Overflow, overflow. Heart with all of heaven.
let your love come down, intoxicate the love so sweet, overflow, overflow, permeate, saturate, fill my heart with all of heaven, let your love come down, intoxicate, love so sweet, overflow, overflow,
let love come down, let love come down. Oh, we want to see your love come down. Holy Spirit, your banner over us is love. Your banner over us is love. All of your promises are yes and amen. All of your promises are yes and amen. Oh, all of your promises are yes and amen. Oh, your banner.
We praise you in the sanctuary. We praise you today. We praise you. You are on high. We gaze at you in the beauty of holiness. Oh, we fix our eyes on you. We lay down every burden at the foot of the cross of Christ. We look up today. We look up today. We sing praises to your name. To your name, the name.
so much higher than all things. All honor to your name. All honor to your name. The name that's so much greater. A love that always
Sing that once without the instruments.
Be lifted up. Be lifted higher. Be lifted up. Be lifted higher.
Again.
Defeated, the King is alive. my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Roar up from the ashes.
Let's raise a hallelujah. Let's get on our feet, guys. Everyone, let's get up. We have a hallelujah to Jesus today. It's a hallelujah to him. If we can go back to the chorus. Can you go back to the chorus? I want you to listen to these words we've been declaring. Angela, if you go back there. So why are we raising a hallelujah? Why is it? Why in the middle of the storm do you raise a hallelujah? Because Jesus is King. Louder and louder. We need to let our praises go louder before him. Because where there's death, that's where the seed is born and life comes. We have to die. The Lord lets us die so that we can come back to life, right? Death is defeated. The King is alive. Lord, let a revelation that right now hit our hearts. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Let's sing it out with the Lord. Let's sing that out. Declare it. Death is defeated. Let's bring it on. Yes. Yes, Lord.
Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar.
I just want you right now, if there has been death coming against you, your family, your life, your relationships, I want you to just take it in your hand. Prophetically, we're just going to take it in our hands. Just grab onto that, and we're giving it to Jesus, and we're going to throw it away, okay? So as we declare that death is defeated, the King is alive. He's alive in our lives. He's alive in our families. He's alive in our workplaces, wherever we go. So just take that prophetically, a prophetic act. Just come into agreement. We're saying death is defeated. This, all this sickness, disease, attack against division, every area that the enemy is attacking, let's just take that. Let's just throw it down in Jesus' name. So in the name of Jesus, go in Jesus' name because the King is alive. He's alive. Yes, so let's declare that. He is alive over our problems. He's alive over our situations. Lord, you're alive in our families. You're alive in our lives, Lord. Thank you. Bring the breakthrough, Lord, today. Thank you, Lord, that you are bringing freedom today in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Wow, yes. The Bible says that the Lord spoke the world into existence. He spoke, and it happened. So as we declare that from a heart of faith, the Lord is just going to move in your families. He's going to move and bring breakthrough. So I'm just going to pray right now. Thank you, Lord, for the breakthrough that you've released. Thank you, Lord, that it's not just something silly, but Lord, it's prophetically, we're declaring no to the enemy, we're saying yes to you because you are King Jesus and you are alive. Thank you. Be alive in our hearts more and more today, more and more tomorrow. Be alive in our lives. Be alive wherever we go. We submit to you fresh and new today. We surrender to you fresh and new because you are worthy. You're the Holy One. You're the Righteous One. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for filling us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, welcome everyone to a wonderful day in Jesus. Welcome, welcome. Well, I think we're transitioning, and we had an amazing wedding yesterday. Those who were able to be here for that, Tiana and Michael were married. They are currently flying over the U.S. to somewhere far south. far south. But so good to be back here, and it was just beautiful. As you know, the Lord just reminded each time I see a wedding that's got the Lord behind it. I've been at some weddings that have recently and some that have not. And it's just amazing to see how God touches hearts and just releases people in their destiny and their calling. And so for Michael and Tiana, a reaffirmation of their commitment to the Lord, to each other. But, you know, just every time I see that, it's to me and my wife a reaffirmation of our marriage, but also just our covenant relationships. So just thankful to be here with this family and just bless you all. Amen. And so we have communion that is being done by Michelle. Wonderful.
We believe the Bible is real in this house, and that was a prophetic act that you all participated in just now, throwing death down, and don't minimize the impact of that in the spirit. Remember Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, all right? He didn't have them go, the armies initially go and attack. He had them do a prophetic act to march around the city with the praise in the front of the whole group. And as they praised and as they worshiped and as they trusted God and as they engaged in that prophetic act, that's what caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. And so it is powerful when in unity we say, death, Satan, everything, every lie of the enemy is defeated in the name of Jesus, because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And so even if we're in a circumstance right now in our lives where we're contending for something, where we're facing a challenge, where we're facing an impossible situation, where we're facing death or spiritual death of someone we love or whatever it is, we walk by faith and not by sight in that circumstance. So I believe today is a day where we're throwing death down and we're throwing that heaviness of death off of us. Because the enemy works in intimidation. The enemy wants a circumstance to look so hopeless, so far gone, so impossible, so just hopeless that nothing, and he just wants to intimidate us that it's always going to be like that. And he wants to crush the hope of the future, crush the hope over that person. But we say no in this house to that. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. We follow our King Jesus when he was on this earth. He walked by faith every day. He was connecting first thing with his Father in heaven, getting the assignment, getting into that presence, getting into that intimacy, because he knew, if my heart is entwined with my Heavenly Father, then I can face any circumstance. And the scripture that the Lord had put on my heart for today is in 1 Thessalonians. And we just want to declare this out and activate this along with everything else that's already taken place in this service. But I just want to say to you that if your mind is telling you, oh, that prophetic act, that didn't mean anything, or your emotions are what, just believe it. Just say no. No. Shut up. Shut up, mind. Shut up, flesh. Shut up, devil. Because his mouth is running, and we can have authority over that. And we don't have to come into agreement with negativity. And we don't have to come into agreement with hopeless situations. And we don't have to come into agreement with it, okay? We're given faith to live by on this earth. Tomorrow is not promised. We don't know, but we need to just go to the mat. I just believe today is a go to the mat day where we're like laying ourselves down fresh and new. Every day should be that. We're laying ourselves down, laying down our preconceptions, laying down our unbelief, laying down our hopelessness, laying down the circumstances and saying, devil, I'm not going to believe your lies anymore. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to walk as Jesus walked, right? The Bible says we can walk as Jesus walked. What does that look like? That looks like staring the enemy in the face and saying, you will not have the final say. And matter of fact, there's going to be victory on this earth. And matter of fact, victory's coming now, and victory's coming suddenly, and victory's coming. It's not in the sweet by and by. It's for now, because I'm going to walk by faith, because I'm sick and tired of just being bogged down. We don't have to be intimidated. And the lie is, well, you're just a baby Christian, or you really, you know, that person over there, they're a champion, they're a warrior, but you're not at their level, so you can't face this devil. That's a lie. So let's repent of the lies, because repentance brings that breakthrough. Repentance brings that deliverance, because we can actually walk in a spirit of fear. I know this. It can come in from our generational line. We can be walking in a spirit of fear, and we need deliverance. But deliverance isn't difficult. It's just saying, Lord, here I am. I repent. I repent of coming into agreement with the enemy, whether he spoke to me directly, whether he's spoken through a person. Because it's not people. It's the enemy behind. We love people, you know, but it's the enemy behind that. And so it's just saying, Lord, as we come into communion, we're going to do this together. Lord, we lay ourselves down fresh and new today on your operating table. And we say, have at us. We lay down every lie we've believed, every hopelessness we've come into agreement with. We repent. And right now, in your presence, Jesus, we command the spirit of fear to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Say, spirit of fear, get off me in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Go from my family line in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for your dunamis power that is active in this room right now. Whether we feel it or not, it doesn't matter. You are moving and you are breaking and destroying spirits of fear that have come against generational lines, that have come against even our trying to touch our children. We say no, no. Today is the day. Today is the day that it's thrown off, that we are delivered, that we repent, that we go low, that we forgive if we need to forgive, that we throw off offense if we need to throw off offense, that we throw off unbelief if we need to throw off unbelief, that we throw off judgment and criticism in Jesus' name. If we've come into agreement with that, we throw it off, because there's no time for that. We're not effective as your warriors if we carry that around. So Lord, for me, Lord, in my household, Lord, I just lay that down. I thank you, God. Lord, that you're sweeping us clean right now in your presence, Holy Spirit. You're sweeping us clean. Even those who aren't here, but we're calling out their names too, and we're a representative of them. You're cleaning house. And as the scripture says, when you clean the house, we're going to replace it. We're not going to let the enemy come back. We're going to replace it with faith. Thank you that you are activating, Lord, deeper, higher levels of faith, Lord, to walk out in obedience to you. This life that we've been given every day, saying, Jesus, your will first, your word first. We're going to believe your word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that as we enter this holy communion, it is holy. You are holy, and everything that's not of you is leaving this place and has left this place. We draw a bloodline around this place, around this body, around this fellowship, around every family represented here. We believe in your blood, the power of your blood, Jesus Christ, your precious blood that was shed on Calvary for complete and total salvation. Thank you, Lord, that we say, we pick up, we throw off the heaviness, and now we pick up just communion with you every day, just fellowship with you, just believing. Lord, you're just making our minds like that of a child. You're reconstructing. I just see him operating on our brains and on our minds, where we become jaded, where we've believed a lot. He's doing it. And now we just look at the word and look at our Father in heaven even with fresh eyes. We may have even become jaded against our Heavenly Father. But he's saying, no, you are my children. I want that pure relationship with each one of you. And I want you to live by faith. Because I see these doors. I'm just trying to connect with Holy Spirit and just seeing these pictures in the Spirit, these doors and these keys unlocking these doors. So I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're unlocking doors, Father God. In Jesus' name. So as we take the elements, communion cups, if we know you, and if we don't know you today, or we've come out of relationship with you, Lord, we just take a moment. If there's anyone here who Jesus is not Lord of your life right now, today is your day to know him. Whether it's salvation, you're saying, Jesus, you are Lord, you are God, I am not. I want you to be in full control of my life. I believe when you died on the cross, that you that all sin was taken on by you, all death, all punishment, my punishment that I deserved for not being in right relationship with God. You died. It was buried with you. And when you resurrected, you defeated sin and death, and you say, come to me. Come into relationship with me. And Jesus is the only way into relationship with our Heavenly Father and for living a life of faith and for living the life we were created to live and for being who we were created to be. So if that's you today, I just raise your hand. If it's salvation for the first time or if it's saying, Lord, I know in my life I recommitted my life to the Lord because he was not Lord of my life, and I say, Lord, I'm laying my life down. You are Lord of my life. I don't want to run my own life. I want you to be my king. I want to know you, Jesus, for real. If that's you, thank you. Just with all eyes closed, you can just pray this with me. Pray it in your heart. Jesus, I come to you today. And I say, have my life. You are Lord. And I want to know you. And I want to serve you. And I want to be your child. Thank you. Thank you. I believe that you died on the cross for me, for my sin, for the punishment I deserved. And I believe you rose from the grave, defeated the power of sin and death for all eternity. And now you're seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and I bow down to you, and I say, here's my life. I want to know you. Come into my heart. Holy Spirit, come make me alive. I come into your family in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just take this communion together and thank him for what he's done. Thank you, Jesus.
When we're direct with the enemy and direct with the Lord, we get direct results. Because the Lord is real, and he's saying, pay attention to this word. This is a fiery word. It's not like, oh, wow, go, Michelle. Do it again. Maybe somebody will do it next week. No, this is how we're supposed to live. So as Michelle was preaching this, I just asked her last night as we were leaving the wedding, can you do communion? Sure. So with the anointing that's here, the Lord is saying, listen, I don't want any of you to be straddled with a spirit of fear in any way, because I'm not giving that to you. Power, love, and a sound mind, but fear looks like something. And fear is so strong that it tries to masquerade as something else. And I just had a picture, actually, of Michelle when she was younger, and she was over at our Bible study at our house before this building, and she was dealing with asthma. And I just saw you. So if you can just share that. Because I think it's really important. We're going back a few years. It doesn't matter all the details, but listen to this, because the Lord's trying to resurrect, actually, what he's already released. He's saying, any of you who are not stepping into this or it's something new, it's yours today. And the Lord says, watch what I do.
I think I was still a teenager and had been diagnosed with asthma and was at their house and really just the understanding that God still heals today and that's a promise in his word was very new to me. and I hadn't wrapped my mind fully around it, but there was a moment, it's a little bit fuzzy, but I know that, you know, it was with you guys and I don't know if it was at a, no, I think I was just over with you guys. Maybe it was girls group or something. And I feel like the Holy Spirit was saying, I want to heal this asthma, and I want you to do something as a step of faith, that showing that you believe me. And so he told me to run around the house, I think 7 times, just like, okay, I'm running around their house, and nothing, no asthma since then. I mean, it was instant. It was like, wow, Lord, this is amazing. And
hang on. So sometimes we think, oh, we don't have to do something, and our minds start taking control again. Control is just partnering with fear. And the Lord wants us to step out in faith for anything that we're believing for, anything that we're declaring and decreeing. He says, if you believe it, act like it, walk like it. So another picture that I had was during our non-beloved COVID season, and, you know, there were a few weeks when we were doing things out of our home, and then we came back here, but we didn't stop worshiping at all. But Pastor Bill, during one of the live streams that we had, it was very short-lived, actually, but one of the live streams, he said, those who are listening and watching, we're going to meet over at the church, and we're going to walk around this place. And was like, I looked at him like, okay, well, he heard that, he saw that, but he put it into motion. He didn't just say, I think I need to pray about it. He knew what to do because he was communing with the Lord. So we all gathered here, much to others' dismay, more than likely. And so Michelle was driving, and she came in obedience in the heart to the word. Okay? Because the word was given, and you respond to the word. So she came. Tell them what you saw.
I saw these two giant bronze warring angels, one at each side of the driveway that goes onto the road, and just, it was incredible. I mean, they were humongous. I just felt this was God's protection, God's favor, and that this was exactly what we were supposed to do, and we just experienced so much protection and divine favor during that season. And it was so, his angels are moving on our behalf and moving in this body, and there are many angels around this place. Just believe, you know, believe that.
Amen. Thanks, Joe. So we're going to be talking more about visioning and visions and things like that, supernatural phenomenon, if you will. And I will tell you that mainstream body of Christ does not like that. The enemy does not like that. Why? Because the Lord's speaking all the time, and the Lord is saying, I want you to learn how to hear me. And I really don't want to go back to 20 years ago. I want anyone that this is new for to step in faith without fear, and you'll build quickly, and there'll be an acceleration. And Mike just heard recently warp speed, something for his own personal walk in life and family life and all of that. And so I speak that over this body, warp speed. I say acceleration over this place. Whether you've been here one day, whether you've been here 20-some years, whatever it is, I say warp speed, which means Jesus is coming back. And let's believe what he says, and let's step in and let him work with us and on us. Do you like that? Okay, that's acceleration in the body of Christ. So this is a word for him and his life. But I'm saying for you, you can think about what that word means, which is quick. Like, whoa, I can't even put context to it. And don't use that. That's for him from God. I'm just saying that word you can come underneath, because God is no respecter of persons. So he will give what he knows you can handle, and he will give what he knows you will walk out. I went through a very treacherous time in my life, and I didn't understand the outcome at the time, and I'm not going to speak much more about it than that, but the Lord told me later, he said, it's because of what I see that I have called you to walk in and do that I knew you would stay faithful to me. It's like, oh, I don't get this. He says, because of my faithfulness in you, and you're going to be sucked into that in a like glue, you know, because of that, this is the way it went, so trust me, watch what I do. And it's for generations. So the Lord is the Lord. He knows what he's doing. He is sovereign God, but he's also saying, learn how to stand, learn how to fight. Don't roll over and play dead, or the enemy will pounce on you. Okay, if we don't understand how things work in the spirit. Amen? So that's what today is going to be more about. But before we get into that, Andy and Nikki have a new little gem, and they're not here this morning, but their pictures are, so we're going to put that up, and then Ashley has some handouts. Woohoo! Eliana. Not Eliana. Lillian Grace. Amen. Is that beautiful? Woohoo! So we can all, they might be watching, so hello, guys. And we love you, and we love our newest little person here, so this is awesome. Amen. We can't wait to see you, and we just say thank you, Lord, for this little miracle, right? And some of you, maybe many in here, know the story behind that, but what we want to say is, Lord, you are their story, and so, Father, they will share at some point, but we just thank God for what he's doing and what's going to happen when they all are able to come and be here together. Amen? All right. So we're going to release the kids right now, and we have a lot of material to cover, and I need handouts from Ashley Z. Okay, I need your main handout. I need a physical paper, one, for me. Yeah. And everybody who's going to be with Kingdom Kids, thank you. Everybody who's going to be with Kingdom Kids today, make sure you get this and watch it and listen to it, all right? And get one of these handouts as well. Can I have my stuff there? Can you bring that, bring it up, and the water? Amen. So we're going to go back just for a few minutes. Everybody turn in your Bibles to Psalm 8 and then Matthew 21, 20 and 21. We're going to move today. We have 100 scriptures dealing with vision. We're not going through them all today. And I heard Kristen, Jesus, are you here? Oh, right there. Hi, guys. Hey, welcome. How's Arizona? Warm. Okay. Glad to see you. Heard you were in town. It's like, whoa, this is amazing. So stay longer, whatever it is. I know you're planning on leaving soon, but you can change plans. After this message, it could be for a long time. You just never know. Amen. Welcome. They think I'm kidding. Well, I'm not. You know, God is good. So, Father, thank you for what you're going to release today. Thank you for everything. You're so amazing. You're our amazing God. You are incredible. You are incredible, our amazing God. You're uncontainable. You're amazing. We sang it yesterday. At the close of a beautiful wedding, of a celebration of a new covenant that had been established. So we thank you, Father, that we carry that, and we carry that in faith without fear. And may I say, Lord, that you're increasing boldness in this place for those who need a dose of Holy Ghost in that area. So, Father, I just thank you for the courage in this house, courage in this place, the boldness in this place, in Jesus' name. Let it be. Let it be. From the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, that we don't shrink back because we're sitting in church. Father, we could be out sitting on a hill somewhere. We hear this message and we're ready to roar. So, Father, let it be that this is a place without walls, that we go out. We stay, we get fed, we worship, and we go out. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And take this back to Arizona. God bless you guys. Amen. All right. Your Bible, put up Psalm 8, if you would, guys, please. Now, we went through this last week. If you weren't here, I would really encourage you to get the message from last week because I don't want to repeat the message. But it was really good. It's about David speaking about the Lord's glory and man's dignity. And we began with, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name? And we ended with, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name? And it was there was a beautiful sandwich that's just like a loaf of bread. You get the front, you get the heel, right? But just think of a sandwich where you get all the good stuff that absolutely adds the savor and everything you need when you have a top piece of bread and a bottom piece of bread. So it's very, very important to understand how good God is and how he wants to bring us into a place of receiving greater revelation of who he is so we can walk it out and love him, love others, right? It's really that simple. So David, when he wrote this, was very perplexed, actually, thinking about angels and saying, well, Lord, you just made angels a little lower, right? No, wait a minute. No, it's man. No, wait a minute. Where did the angels fit? So he had these questions. And in Matthew 21, Jesus referred to Psalm 8 because Jesus got it, but he wanted other people to consider that as well. So he referred to Psalm 8 saying that the little children are going to cry out and children are going to raise a holy hallelujah. They're going to raise out Hosanna. But he's speaking about little people physically, but all of us, because we're made in the image of God. So we are his children. We are his sons. We are his daughters. And I really believe that God is getting us all to a place, wanting us to not be caring, orphan thinking, where we don't know if we're a son or a daughter, or we don't know how to walk out, whether we're a son or a daughter. That we will start with, you're holy, I'm holy, be ye holy because I am holy. We understand that. And we say, you're my dad. You're my papa. I'm your daughter. And I need to learn how to walk that out as I just love you from that place as a little child made in his image. So we'll refer to that when we get to Matthew 21 again. But again, for more detail, watch that. It was a good message because I believe it came straight from the Lord. I just happened to be a mouthpiece up here. So amen to that. So Psalm 8 is extremely detailed, and I did share with you, a Sandy Patty testimony, and you can check that out as well. All right, we're going to go to Matthew 21. Psalm 8. Well, you know what? Before I do that, I just can't leave Psalm 8 just dangling. So let's at least read it. I may say a few things because it's all in last week. But let's at least read it. Let's start with verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. Whew. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Come on now. Right at the very beginning. God, you're big. Enemy's going to try to interrupt that, but he can't unless we let him. Right? So let's keep going. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you've made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. Okay? You make him to rule over the works of your hands, who have put all things under his feet. Thank you, Lord. All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, David danced with angels. David understood the angelic realm. David ascended into the holy place. We can study the life of David, and we can get really, really good in being well-versed in the scriptures, but still not carry the intimacy that even David carried. And the Lord says, under this new and better covenant, it's time that not only do we exalt what the Lord has said and done and shown us, that we're going to dance as David danced, we're going to worship as David worshiped, and we're going to go way past that. If we can't even get to that place, whoa, we're lagging. Because the Lord says, excuse me, I sent my son. Excuse me, he's co-crucified. You're co-crucified with him. Excuse me, you're co-buried with him. Excuse me, you're co-raised with him. Do you know what that means? And are you walking that resurrection life out? Well, I'm just trying to hear you, Lord. He says, yeah, but I already wrote it. I already said it. You can hear me. So if there's anything blocking that hearing, let's deal with that. Let's do that. So we talked a lot about that last week as well. But David understood things of the Lord. David understood. He understood how to worship in spirit and in truth. And then we can also say, wow, in this season of our life, God, 2,000 years later, after Jesus was here, we're going to do the same. And he goes, well, yippee. But how about we go even past that? Where is your heart? Where is your worship? Are you at the place where you're hearing me moment by moment? I may even tell you how to dress. Now, don't get weird on me, because the Lord does speak to us through various aspects of our life. He's just saying, listen, and if I'm not speaking and you're hearing me, just wait. Wait, be still, and know that I'm God. Be still. That means wait on me. Well, it sounds like you're moving really fast and you're telling me to speed up. Maybe so. But maybe that's because the Lord is saying, I'm speaking, you're not hearing. Right? That doesn't negate waiting on the Lord. That primes the pump. So we're eagerly spending time in his presence. We're soaking before the Lord. We're resting before the Lord. We're communing with the Lord. He might wake us up early, and instead of being mad about it, because I can understand that, he woke me up super early. It's like, I thought I was going to sleep in for a long time. It's like, yeah, I know. But you didn't. So what are you going to do with it? Like, oh, yeah. So the Lord is really conditioning us to prime the place that we are with him right now to be able to hear him clearly and accurately. Now, you all were at the wedding or heard about it, or you could watch it online or whatever. And if you didn't watch it yet, then check into that. But I can just, or you weren't here. But I can just say that when Pastor Bill was singing his song, and I'm not going to tell you more about that because you'll have to watch it if you weren't here. So I didn't know about that. So I'm just kind of looking at him like, well, this is fun. Because, you know, I'm not, you know me. It's like we can have a nice little syllabus and a program, and it looks really neat, and we dot our I's and cross our T's, and we should. It's okay. We can have a plan. But the Lord's going to be, it's not in there. And when it came to pastoral counsel, that's all it said, because that's all there was on it. It's like, who's speaking? Well, we'll see. We'll let you know. And we'll see what God's going to say. So we were kind of laughing last night as we got home, after we got home from the wedding and reception and everything, about some of the things the Lord was just, you know, ruah, breathing in us, saying, do this, do that. It's not working that you're going to have a mic the way you think it would be more helpful because of what you're dealing with. It's not working. Okay. Well, you can either fight that or you can trust me. So I chose to trust. It's like, okay, I don't know. It's God here for the wedding. God, I don't know. It'll work. So we're on the way over here, and my husband's thinking of different things to help me. And it's like, all I'm hearing is no, and he's not pushing anything, just, you know, suggesting. Good husbands do that. And so I got, you know, it's like, Lord, you've got an idea here. I don't know what it is, but you better show me fast because we're walking down the aisle. So I need to be able to not be dropping things. I need to be able to balance things. And it wasn't, you know, I could either get really nervous about that or just be confident and be still and know that I'm God. So I was in him, and he gave me an idea. And you can watch it if you want to see what happened, because I'm not telling you any more than that. But God is good. He's always taking us right up to the 11th hour. What does 11 mean? Perfect alignment. Okay. And 12, we already know what 12 is. It's the government of God. So we're moving towards this outpouring of the government of God with perfect alignment where he wants us to be. So if we take these words and go, yeah, and then they don't change us, they're just nice words. Not in the spirit to God, but he's calling us to change. He's calling us to respond. He's calling us to go, yes, but to respond. That's what Michelle was doing to the end of worship, maybe all the way through. I don't know. I'm just saying, whatever was going on at the end, there was fire in her bones. And I don't know if she walked in with fire in her bones, but there was fire in her bones when she was up here. And she released the next place that God's taking us to, and the next place. And that's how he is. He so loves us, each one of us. He's saying, I don't want to leave you the way I found you this morning. I want you to change today. How many of us want to change today? Okay, that is really the goal of God, to know him more. Yeah, but you're interrupting my process. Glory to God. Okay, because he's interrupting mine. This is his process. Let me interrupt you. Let me be like Habakkuk. We're going to look at his verses in just a minute in chapter 2. Because the Lord was very strong, laying a foundation for us in the Old Testament. Sometimes we just get so stuck that, you know, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to, you know, I don't want to sound like anyone would think I'm speaking about them, because I'm not. But we might have certain things. It's like, I'm more comfortable doing this. And the Lord might say, yes, you might be, but you're not going to be able to really release the fullness of my anointing through you if you do it this way in your comfort zone. What about that? So what we need to do is put things out there for God, because he likes to solve the problems. He's looking at us as visionaries, some of us, maybe all of us, because the scripture says without vision, people perish. That means they are hindered. Okay, there's a problem. If we don't have vision from our Heavenly Father, we don't walk in God's vision, then we are struck with maybe a longer journey, as the Israelites had, and we always relate, you know, our current situations back to them. You wandered in the desert for 40 years, you didn't need to. Without vision, people perish. They're lopped off, they're brought down. Sickness, disease, frustration, and all kinds of things overwhelm and overtake us without absolute vision from God. So God wants us to carry vision, but he also wants us to build. And the Lord is saying, I was just telling Mikey this morning, I said, you know, or last night I think it was, I don't know, sometime recently, it was last night or this morning, I said, you know, I'm a visionary and I'm a builder. You know, you might think, oh, sure, heads are in the clouds. Yeah, but I want to build, and sometimes I have to fight frustration, to be really honest with you, because I hear something, and if it's not walked out or moved where it can be, sometimes I have to fight that frustration for myself, just not letting go of it. Because God's got people in their process, but sometimes it's like, God, this can go if we'll respond to various exhortations and encouragements from people. Yeah. So what we want to do is ask God, am I responding to what I'm hearing? But am I responding your way? Or am I responding my way? It's like, you know, I'm just going to go really, I'm going to seek the Lord for 3 weeks about that. And the Lord's saying, yeah, but you heard me speak here. You just don't want to hear it. And though that's an ouch, but it's the truth. And so being a visionary is more effective, and you'll find in the scriptures that every visionary was a builder. Let's see what God wants to do with this. Because if we just talk about it and have a vision and we don't know how to pray it in, walk it in, do something with it, then the whole train slows down. And everything slows down. You know, the flags slow down. Everything become like little sloths in Zootopia. We don't want to do that. So if you know what I'm talking about, I saw that last week and it was like, oh my gosh, is that me, Lord? No, never, never, never. So if you don't know what that is, I'm sorry. So go ahead and look it up. Anyway, I love Psalm 8. So let's flip in our Bibles to Matthew 21. And we're going to be out of here in no time, but with all kinds of cool things. So Matthew 21. I have to find it myself. Here we go. And we did, I mean, last week was just so much fun. It was moving. And honestly, I wasn't going to preach today. Pastor Bill was going to preach, and he's just so kind. So what should we do? Where are we? And we do the same. But then when I woke up this morning, I said I can do this if you want me to, or if you've got a word, you go for it. And this is how we are. So we try to hear the Lord. What are you doing? What are you wanting to accomplish today? And when we're really in peace with the Lord, and it's really the Lord and not our schedule, excuse me, then things happen. So I believe that God's got something really beautiful that he's already given today. So you'll hear from him soon, I'm sure. All right, so anyway, we talked last week about the triumphal entry. It's like, it's not Easter, it's not resurrection week. But we talked, you know, about what Jesus did after he came into Jerusalem and what that looked like. And then how he went to the temple and he walked into the temple and all kinds of things happened, right? And we know that in addition to healing people, he was turning over tables and releasing doves. And he said, hey, this my house shall be called a house of prayer. Basically, he was addressing fear, because fear brings us into what we think should work and what will happen wherever it is. It is fear. Fear is just the opposite of faith. What you heard this morning from everybody so far was faith. And Troy was preaching up here. He came to me and he said, you know, I don't have much of a voice. And I said, oh, sorry, here's the mic. And so he knows that doesn't mean anything to me other than I'm sorry. And so you heard and what he released. And I've experienced that victory so many times. And he's been there and watched it. And he did too. Isn't that great? So let's give Jesus a big thank you for that, because Troy couldn't have a voice. So amen. Okay, so here we are in Matthew 21. And when Jesus was cleansing the temple, we're going to jump down to verse 13. And he said, yeah, let's do 13. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a robber's den. Keep going, guys, okay? And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant. And he said to them, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said, yes. So he answered their question, do you hear? I don't think I would really want to ask that question of Jesus, but. And Jesus said, yes. Have you never read? And he quotes the scripture, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself. Matthew 21, 1 through 46. And he left them and went to the city of Bethany and spent the night there. So Jesus was referencing Psalm 8, which we talked about last week. But interesting, what I said last week is that the next passage after the fig tree is all about his authority. But what I want to draw your attention to, I was thinking about this morning, these couple of verses from 13 to 16, let's back it up now because we already covered this last week, but let's look at it again. Go back to 13, please. And he said to them, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You're making it a robber's den. In other words, what you're doing is allowing the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. What are you doing? Do you not know who I am? And do you not know what I'm going to do? And I care so much about you and my Father and you catching the vision of what's going to happen. This is not going to be good. And you're offending our Father in heaven. And I care about you. So he's able to touch many, many people at the same time. So a robber's den. You know, when we focus on, well, what do you mean? I mean, they're going to come in and they're going to have an exchange, a bartering type of thing going on. Listen, the Lord is saying, this isn't about me. This is about you. This is about what you want, what you need. It's not about my Father, and it's going to mess things up for you long term. So I'm going to set the record straight, and you've got to get it right. So I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Don't spend time worrying about how did he throw the tables over. Who cares? Jesus spoke, and he spoke the word of God, and he spoke from Isaiah 62. My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. He didn't say that part there, but he has said that in many other places, and so is the Old Testament. So let's go to the next verse. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And so we were reading that last week, and wasn't that just kind of fun? You know, many places that we've been, and we've been in, you know, outside of various people of other religions, temples and synagogues or whatever they would be. And we've seen a lot of people who are poor and broken and blind and lame and everything else. And they're sitting outside begging because they have no hope. And they're hoping they're going to get somebody wealthy and giving them the money. But interestingly, Jesus is in the synagogue and he's healing these guys. But so cool, if you go back, which we did not talk about last week, I got to find that. Let's go back into the early part of Matthew 21, which is verse 29. Can we put that up? Go to Matthew, 29. Let's find that one. It says, as they were leaving Jericho. You got that? Matthew 21, verse 9. 29. Am I right? No, I'm wrong. Sorry, Matthew 20. This is my Bible that still needs to be stretched in the middle here. So I did not see that. But anyway, it is 20:29. So let's go there if we can pull that up. And if we can't, I can read this. It's hard. We got it? Okay, so they were leaving Jericho. A large crowd followed him. Let's keep going. And two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Keep going. The crowd sternly told them, be quiet. But they cried out all the more, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped, and he called them, and he said, what do you want me to do for you? We know Jesus knew the answer. They said to him, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. Moved with compassion, as our Jesus always was, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Next. Is that the end of 20? Okay. Listen. So when Jesus, get this. Jesus is known for all of his miracles and known for all of his healings and teachings and everything else. We know that. But think about this. This is not blind Bartimaeus. These are two other blind people. And God is speaking right now, and he's saying to them, hey, I'm not going to react to these stern people. And they knew it, and they didn't care. They were so desperate, they cried out. They worshiped. They cried out to their God. They were not going to let fear keep them. They cried out. So when we hear a song sing a little louder, and it gets a little louder, you know, we all have to get to a point of deciding whether we want to sing a little louder. Not because Amanda or Josh call us to sing a little louder, you see, the words up there. The point is, if we're desperate for the Lord, desperate, this is not about a worship song, I'm just trying to make a point here, a good point, that God is saying, look at the desperation of these guys, and what did they get? They got their miracle, didn't they? And they went against every odd, didn't they? Do you think that word traveled? Yes. Everywhere Jesus went, he preached, he taught, he healed. Everybody saw it. The word traveled. So when Jesus was going into the synagogue after the triumphal entry, And this is before the triumphal entry, okay? Can you imagine? There are beggars there. There's blind and lame and everybody else. And so anybody who didn't catch that part of their healing, they're going to find out where he is. And they were healed and they went where he was. So you want to be at the right place in the right time. And you want to be where his presence is strong and hard and fast. And that can be in your own bed. That can be on your floor. That can be when you're soaking before God. And when you're in a corporate setting, you better be in a place where there's going to be power released. There's power released. There's power for healing right now. Anyone who's not feeling well online, in here right now, I really believe that, that the Lord is saying, let me heal you. Let me do that. Let me do it. Receive it. Receive it all by faith right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to Matthew 21. I want to jump through this really quickly. Okay, we talked about the fig, didn't we? The fig tree. And we talked about the Jews. And we talked about repentance. And it's very important because after Jesus went through this in the temple, he was walking around and he goes, finds this fig tree that doesn't have any figs. And it's like, I'm going to curse it and it's never going to have any. Whoa. Because Jesus was giving a point here. He's saying, you know, I'm patient, but I'm going to let you know what's going to happen, Israelites, Jewish people, but also anybody who would read this, understand that I am going to be given because I'm God. I am God. I am the God-man, and I'm going to be crucified. But I'm going to be crucified here in a way that's going to make you wonder, am I really who I say I am? Am I one with the Father? Do I believe the Father? Am I going to be seated at the right hand of the Father? Did I leave heaven to come to earth? Did I do that? Yes, I did. I was Jesus, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I'm Jesus. But watch what I'm going to go through. Figure that one out. Get revelation from my word. Get revelation from me. Get the Rhema word of God. Logos word and Rhema word of God so you can understand it. If you don't have both, you can get caught up in religion so fast and X yourself right into a little box where you can't move and you can hurt others. Don't want to do that. So moving along, authority challenged. Jesus answered the authority question very beautifully, didn't he? We talked about it last week. So get the tape, so to speak. Watch it from last week. But Jesus' authority was questioned. Let's just leave it at that. And Jesus had the answer. He knew what he was going to do. And basically, these people were saying to him, who were religious, who weren't following the flow of the Spirit, even after the demonstration of the signs and wonders, they were trying to get Jesus to a point where he would be confused. He wasn't. Where his authority would be, or lack of authority they thought he had, would be questioned and established. It wasn't. Nothing was able to get past Jesus because he knew his God. He knew where he stood. And he was very secure. And we have to be the same. Because the farther we get in the river of God with signs and wonders in our hearts where we're hearing the voice of God, don't you think the enemy's going to try to smack us in the face, probably with the people closest to us first and foremost, to get us off our game so we're not walking in who we were created to be. We're not moving in the way that we're supposed to be moving. Because the enemy, that's the only way he can do that. To try to keep us with our head ruling us. I can't do this. I can't do that. I don't have this. I don't have that. It's not going to happen. It's like, it's not going to happen should not be in our lingo. It's not happening. It's like, Lord, I need a solution. Are you using me in part of that solution? How can I help solve this problem to help people? Honestly. And sometimes we do that really well, and other times we probably don't. You know, I'm chief offender here. So let's think about that. We need to get back in our game of flowing with the Spirit, not just when we're doing what we think is really, you know, bringing us closer to Jesus. It's got to be all the time. It's got to be when we're not. We're doing something that takes, you know, a lot of brain power maybe, technical power maybe, whatever it would be, you know, human stuff that we need. We need the Holy Spirit to be leading our mind, our will, our emotions. Why? Because the Lord says, I want it to be well with your soul. I want your soul to prosper above everything else. How about that? And our body is included in that. It's like, yeah, I know, but just don't go to the bud. Go into the Word of God and let's see what He will do, because He wants to show Himself strong. He wants to walk in the miraculous with us. He wants us to receive our miracle and then stand for more and be able to help others do the same. Maybe with the same kind of miracle, maybe not. It's really about the nature and the character of God and what we're saying we will embrace about You, Lord. And it's always going to feel stupid. It's always going to feel dumb. It's always going to be like, oh, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And the Lord says, I know. Do a little dance for Me. Dance as David danced. But don't just dance as David danced when someone says, why don't you dance as David danced? Dance as David danced before the Lord all the time. Here would be nice. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, you saw that. Okay. Amen. Okay. Let's put up, Proverbs 29, if you can. Angela, that'd be good. Thank You, Lord. You're so good. And you should all have 100 scriptures. Do you love this? Guess what? If you don't, can they be passed? Does everybody have one? Okay, let's just make sure, also, if you don't, put your hand up. Somebody will give it. There's people up here. Okay. Make sure all the teachers have this. Because I really heard this morning, I believe, when the Lord was saying, we need to saturate ourselves in the Word, but with purpose. Okay? With purpose. So these are about vision and such. So I hope they will bless you and they won't sit on your closet floor somewhere in a hamper. So let's take a look at Habakkuk 2 and verse 3 as well. If we can do that, that would be awesome. If I can find all of this. I think it's written on the first page. See if you can find it there. I went through this on my phone. So what page is it on? We're 2 and 3. Well, I want 2 and 3 together, and it's written in here. Is there a place? Pardon? Oh, thank you. Okay. Oh, goody. They're together. So the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. Come on. And then, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. It's really great. As a visionary, Habakkuk knew how it was important for us to record what he was receiving from the Lord. The Lord said, write it down. Record it. Unless you have a photographic memory and you'll remember everything always, and then you can somehow pass it into your generations. Whatever the Lord is telling you to do, do it. But he's telling people here, Habakkuk, he's saying, record the vision. And when you receive this, don't worry whether you're a prophet or you're not a prophet. Come on. Let's get into the work of the kingdom and let God define us. He already has told us what we need to do. So if we're not stepping into visions and dreams, it's really nice to quote Joel 2, Acts 2, and we do. But the Lord is saying, now let's step into this. Let's up our game because we can. These are Old Testament, many Old Testament scriptures. And the Lord is saying, when we decide that we want to spend time in the prophets, okay, in the prophets, the visionaries especially, and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah and many others, because we want to hear You. We want to learn how to hear You better. And we're going to exercise ourselves into studying the Word in addition to maybe a passage of Scripture that you just love, like in Joseph. Oh, my gosh, he was a dreamer. Okay, so we got that down. We just keep going over and over and over. Joseph, good for you. But expand your vision, because the Lord wants us to see the fact that He's calling us as visionaries, as people who understand what He's wanting to tell us in dreams and visions. Night visions are dreams, right, when they're from Him. And He wants us to understand. He doesn't want us to balk at it and then explain it away. Say, well, that was a pizza dream. Well, maybe it was a pizza dream. I don't know. But when we're positioned to receive from the Lord, guess what we're getting? Receiving from the Lord. And guess what? If we want, I want your dreams, your visions. I want to spend time in Your presence. I want to soak and then go. I want to give my time. I want to worship You. I want to behold You. that in who I gaze at, I behold, I become. So if we want to behold his beautiful face, and then we're singing that out, I behold your beauty, we're going to become like him because we're beholding him. We're spending time with him more and more and more. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else does, and we'll be able to recognize when the enemy is saying, you know, you're a slug. Look what you've done. Look how you've hurt. Look how you, look how you, look how you. And you're like, ah, I'm trying to love. I'm trying to hear. Maybe I didn't. Hey, the Lord wants us to recognize the voice of the devourer so that we can recognize even better the voice of our beautiful one who will stomp the face of the devourer. Okay? That is for sure. This is coming to me, and I think I told my family this, but I don't know if I've told you guys this. Years ago, I was ministering to a lot of people in Africa, and just been in a situation where hundreds of people had individual ministry. There were prayer lines and all kinds of things like that, and it was really great. It was really great, but the enemy had planted a very high-level witch in the midst of all of that. At that moment, I'm laying hands on many people, praying for people. People are getting healed. It's like, bam, bam, bam. It's like, all right. And then, you know, later after that, I don't know the time frame. It's probably written somewhere. I started getting sick. And I got sicker and sicker. And I'm trying to minister to our team at a Bethel Retreat Center. So I guess it was in Ghana. And it was like, God, this is like, I'm not getting better. And it's just like, what is happening to me? I inquired of the Lord, why is this like this? And I have a history of things like this. So I see the word, literally, in the spirit. Huh, pneumonia. I don't want pneumonia. I don't have pneumonia. I rebuke pneumonia, and I'm getting worse. That was not enough. So why is that not enough? Everybody's praying because it's getting worse, but I'm trying not to cough on people and all that. So we're praying together one night in our room, and Pastor Samuel and Pastor Dan were in the room next to us, and they could hear the coughing and hacking, and time frame doesn't matter, but I remember saying, Lord, I know you want me healed, and you've given me what you want to give me to use, my hands or my mouth and whatever else inside of me, for healing to come, for deliverance to come. So I need to know what's going on. So he shows me a picture of this person. I can see it right now because it was a vision from God, and I was awake. It's like, oh. And I remembered instantly, of all the hundreds of people, I remember that person going through. My heart was to help that person. And that person may have come for that reason, but what she was carrying didn't come for that reason. Okay? You have to know the difference. So when God showed me that, it was like, well, how do I know it's high level? He showed me what she looked like, showed me her eyes, showed me what she was wearing. It was like, oh. So it was really like, oh, okay. Good, not good. What do we do with that? Okay, now we know that we're going to go to the source of this. We're going to not guess, we're going to go to the source. So that's what we did, went to the source of that, and it was great. It was like, okay, this is how we're praying, Jesus. But it was basically, Jesus, your power, your strength, your authority, you know, get that critter. Not the woman, but get that critter. You do it. But you're going to use me to declare, to decree, to stand in my authority, to not give up, and to go to the root and press in. Because I want freedom now. I don't want freedom 3 days from now and have it get worse. And certainly no pneumonia. Because it was looking that way and it was really rough. So when I woke up, we woke up in the morning, you know, I was talking to the Lord and it's like, okay, what's happening here? And I see a picture, a vision at that point, of Jesus himself, and maybe, I don't know, maybe he needed to have me sleep through the night. I don't remember how that went. But I do remember the next vision that I had was Jesus on this horse, because I saw him on the horse, and he was looking in the first vision. But he was looking like, what are you, MP? What are you going to do about it? And I'm saying, what are you going to do about it? Okay, and it was like, but you're God, I'm not. I know, honey, but I've trained your hands for war, so what are you going to do about it? In that kind of, you know, we're partnering together. But it's him, it's his power, it's his authority, and it's not lack of humility to do that. It's just like, okay, yes, boom. So I stepped into that strongly because he was talking to me, and he's on the horse, you know, and I was with him on that. And so I understood. But he had a scepter in his hand. He had his crown and he had his eyes. And I've seen him that way many times since that time. Was like, yes. But the vision that he showed me after that, it's kind of gross. But anyway, this person, but it was representing the demonic entity because I believe it was a principality. It wasn't just a little squat demon that makes you mad and makes you sick a little bit. It was meant to do more than pneumonia, I believe. But anywho, what I did in this, what I was doing in the warfare with Pastor Bill as well, was saying, Jesus, just do it. You know, go after it in the ways that we do. And so Jesus was on the horse. He takes the hoof of the horse, just goes bam on the head of this high-level person. It was like, oh. And I'm sure she was fine, but she got free somewhere. And I'll tell you, everything, just snakes, everything started coming out of her head. Was like, oh, get them too, Jesus. I don't know what's going on, but get them too. But it was such victory. It was total, total victory. And I was fine. You know, when we got out of bed, Pastor Dan, Pastor Samuel came over, and they said, we heard some coughing last night, and we heard that it's really demonic warfare. Oh, and it was great. And we said, well, thank you so much. Can we pray for you? Yes, but I think I'm better, but go ahead. And so they got to be part of that victory. It was already done. It was a done deal in the spirit. So I'm very strong about visions and dreams and words and pictures. And if somebody asks you to step in and do something, it may be the authority of God using a nice person to tell you to do something, but you need to carry it. You need to do it and then carry it and say, what else, God? Come on. Not pray it away for 10 months. All right, let's take a look at 100 scriptures here. And we've got, okay, we've got a few minutes, and then we're going to wrap this up. So we're out of here by 12:30. Amen? That's my plan. I think it's the Lord's, so I believe that. Okay, so here's what I want to do. We're going to get into a little bit of ministry here, but before we do, I'm going to ask Mike to come up here, because back in 2021, my beloved son, and I say this because it was Mother's Day, so our son, but he gave me this. It is well with my soul. And it's been next to our coffee pot ever since. And it really touched my heart. He's always extremely thoughtful on Mother's Day for me. Always has some surprise. And, you know, no matter what's going on in his own world and life. But I looked at this, and it's like, Lord, I want this to be the earmark of his life. Because I know him, and I know, and I know. And I know what you're telling me, so I want this. It is well. It is well. It is well with his soul, where he's declaring and decreeing that and living that. And it's, you know, ministering to the Lord and to many other people. And that's happening in greater measure than ever before. It's just really fun to watch. But I told him I was going to bring this today. And then I said to him on the way over, I said, you know the story behind that. He goes, yeah. I said, I'm going to ask somebody to share it. Do you want to give it? Or you have somebody else? He goes, yeah, I'll do it, Mom. So he's going to come up and give you the story behind this. For those who can't see it, there are lyrics here to the song, It Is Well With My Soul. And interestingly, in May, when he came to our house certain very specific times, Alexa all of a sudden went into this song twice in a row, two different days, and I just looked or listened and went, oh God, you're so good. And this is about carrying words and carrying visions and carrying dreams. So Mike, if you want to come up and give the background of this, it's very important because it's not just what God prompted someone to write in the midst of loss, but what happens at the end.
Okay. So if anyone knows my mother, she asks you to do things. I wasn't even planning to be here this morning. And the Lord shifted my day as I walked out the door, and then suddenly I found myself in the car with her, bringing her here, and she, of course, volunteered me. Teresa, you ready? Okay, just close your eyes and listen. This is a true story about a family at Christmas time. A mother and a father who in the night of their deepest despair discovered the healing light of hope. It was in Bethlehem when darkness gathers that the Savior's light shines. Horatio Spafford was a successful lawyer and real estate investor in Chicago. He and his wife Anna had one son and four daughters and lived a life of philanthropy and service in their church until 1871, that is. In that year, they lost their four-year-old son to scarlet fever. And a few months later, the Great Chicago Fire wiped out the majority of their property holdings along Chicago's Gold Coast. They made it through the next 2 years until in 1873, tragedy struck again. The Spaffords had planned to visit Europe as a family, but business had kept Horatio back. Anna Spafford and her four little girls were among the passengers on board the ship. Annie, age 11, Margaret Lee, 9, Bessie, 5, and little Tanetta, 2. Their father, Horatio, had intended to sail with them, but was detained on business. "Not to worry," he assured his wife and children. He would book his passage in a few days, and soon they would be reunited in Paris, France, the city of light, celebrating the Christmas season of joy. And joy is what they needed. After the Great Chicago Fire had all but destroyed the family's business interests, the journey was intended to restore hope and bring healing into the Spaffords' lives. Which is why, on the ship, on the evening of November 22nd, Anna and her girls knelt down, said prayers for peace, and fell asleep, dreaming of the Yuletide festivities to come. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, they were jolted awake in their berths. Despite the night's clear, starry sky, their ship had inexplicably collided with an iron-hulled Scottish clipper. Lifeboats quickly filled with people. Many passengers leapt into the icy waters. Anna tried desperately to keep her children together, but the two eldest became separated in the confusion. Just 12 minutes after the impact, a wave washed over the deck, and Anna was drawn under the water with her two youngest daughters. She held on to 5-year-old Bessie until her strength gave out. Her last memory was of 2-year-old Tanetta in her delicate lace nightgown, torn from her grasp, getting smaller and smaller until she too finally disappeared. Later, the crew of the Loch Earn, the Scottish ship, found Anna unconscious, floating on a wooden plank. When the ship docked in Wales, Anna sent a telegram to her husband that began with the words, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Horatio immediately sailed from New York City. He wrote to a friend, "There is just one thing in these days that has become magnificently clear. I must not lose faith." He booked voyage, and 4 days into his trip, on a Thursday evening, the captain summoned Mr. Spafford to the foredeck. By the crew's calculations, they were nearing the place where Anna's ship had gone down, taking with it the bodies of their four daughters, now resting some 3 miles below. But Horatio refused to look down. "I did not think of our dear ones there," he later recounted. Instead, he gazed out across the rolling waves and up into the moonlit sky. There he began to formulate a simple expression of his faith, a verse that would become a beloved hymn. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Only a few weeks earlier in the same place on the open sea, Anna had experienced a similar awakening. After her rescue, when she regained consciousness, she was overcome with despair and wanted to throw herself back into the ocean. What was life worth now, and what could it ever be without her beloved children? But then she heard the voice of God in her mind and in her heart. You are spared for a purpose, Anna. You have a work to do. In quotes. The couple later returned to Chicago, where Horatio sought the support and prayers of his congregation, which included the founder of Moody Bible Institute, to help him face the dire financial straits in which he now found himself. Anna gave birth later to a boy and then a girl. But sorrow upon sorrow, that son, Horatio Jr., succumbed to scarlet fever. Then a year later, another daughter was born. Although only two of their children lived to maturity, the Spaffords never yielded hope. Through that harrowing Christmas season of 1873 and in the years that followed, Horatio and Anna became even more certain that God loves all his children, whoever they are and whatever tribulations that may come. After the birth of their daughter, Grace, in 1881, the Spaffords moved to Jerusalem out of a deep calling, where they established a place later known as the American Colony Hotel, with a mission to reach out to Muslims, Jews, and Christians in the Holy Land. And so began the Spaffords' most enduring charitable work, a renowned hospital for children. That ministry later became the home of the first talks between Palestine and Israel that eventually led to the 1983 Oslo Peace Accords. The seed of love they planted in others bore sweet fruit indeed. For nearly 150 years, millions have sung and have been lifted up by the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Most have been unaware of the circumstances in which it was written, but they have been strengthened by its universal message. Horatio's words resound with the truth we celebrate in Jesus Christ, a child born in Bethlehem, bringing peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Because of him and in him alone, the human spirit can rise above tragedy. Whenever, however we suffer our own night of sorrow, his love does shine in the darkness. His peace will heal the wounded soul. And the Lord's work of giving, loving, serving, and rescuing is ours if we choose to make it so. And as we do, we join with the angels to rejoice, glorify the Lord, and sing, it is well with my soul.
Turn this up right now. Drum shall resound. Today, Lord, that even in the midst of loss and tragedy and things we don't understand, that you have a purpose and a plan, and you're teaching us, Lord, how to stand so that you are revealed. Thank you for revealing yourself today through your spoken word, through this expression, oh God, and let it be
Father, that when you desire for our souls above all else to be prospering, that we will count on you, depend on you, to train our hands for war, to know what it is you want us to do, and where you want us to be, and what you want us to see, and what you want us to know. So, Father, we just praise you and thank you for visions and dreams and words. And, Father, that the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you say, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. So we thank you, Lord, that you are divine, you are sovereign, you are hope giver, hope filler. And, Father, we give you our burdens right now. We're not wired to carry them. We give you, we release them right now to you, just as these beautiful Spaffords did, and they were able to be used by you mightily in the second part of their life, even in the midst of tragedy. So, Father, things we don't understand, we give over to you. And, Father, any fears that have come against us, we give over to you, and we say no. We lay it down at your feet. We thank you, King Jesus, that you stomp on the heads of the enemy. You do right now in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for divine release for our families, divine release for our lives, divine release in our circumstances, for you to be known and to be made strong through us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Keep coming. Keep coming, Lord. Keep coming. And Father, with these scriptures that people will take home and then speak over one another and bring them back next week, we'll get a word from you of how to use those. So we thank you. So let's just keep listening to this song. Just turn it up, and we're just going to keep. Lay it down right now at the feet of Jesus. Whatever you might be carrying, whatever you've gone through, whatever you might be going through right now, just lay it down. Just declare, these declarations are strong and mighty. Turn it up, please. Nailed to the cross. Come on, sing it out.
The day when the faith shall be sight.
Come, Lord Jesus.
And the clouds be rolled.
The Spirit and the bride say, come.
As a
the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. Come, Lord Jesus.
And the trump shall.
Receive that by faith. We will see you Tuesday. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you.